Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 23rd, 2015. Reading from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Those of you tuned in for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, I'm sure you were blessed by yesterday's broadcast, part one of a 55-minute special presentation hosted by Chris Fabry of the Moody Broadcasting Network, titled One Day with Dad, recorded at the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, Louisiana. A powerful testimony of the power of a dad in a child's life. And we'll begin right where we left off yesterday, as one of the inmates shared the importance of corresponding weekly with his daughter, trying to be that Malachi man and providing the love and support as best he can.
She actually has every letter that I ever sent to her, you know what I'm saying, since she was maybe about four. And she got them in a shoebox, and she said when I make it home, she's going to give them back to me, you know. So, you know, it's the relationship. If I don't write her for a week or something, she'll just think something wrong with me, and she'll go to calling up here, you writing me and trying to find out why she ain't getting no mail. And the attachment is just, the word attachment to our relationship since Malachi Dads and Return Horse is really an understatement, you know. So it's amazing, you know, what this program has not only done for me and for my daughter as a whole, but for her individually, you know, because everything that I've learned here, you know, I've gave to her, you know. She got saved through Malachi Dads and seeing how it changed my life, you know what I'm saying, in 2010. But she's still learning a lot about Jesus and a lot about God, you know what I'm saying, through me and through my faith and through this program, most definitely, you know what I'm saying. And I'm proud of where she's come from, because she don't come from a real strong religious family nor a religious background, you know what I'm saying. So when I came up here, she was like 18 months, and she's been coming to see me ever since. You know what I'm saying? But when I, because I was in a parish jail before I came here, and they don't have contact visits, you know, and she don't really remember seeing me behind a glass and putting her hand to the glass, to my hand. But, you know, she remembered me ever since she could remember, most definitely.
Several inmates have mentioned Malachi Dads in the broadcast, which is an intensive year-long study program from Awana that includes Bible study and scripture memorization. Let's face it, some dads in prisons around the country don't know their children. They don't want to know them. But many of the dads at Angola, the ones you're hearing from today, gain the passion to be fathers, to reach into their children's hearts, because they were rooted and grounded in God's Word. And that passage in Malachi 4:6 about fathers' hearts turning to their children and children's hearts turning to their fathers, it's beginning to happen.
I noticed that you both have things written on the backs of your T-shirts.
Well, I wrote some things that, so when she get home, she can look at it and see that the mindset that I have, that I want them to have, to keep God first. You know what I'm saying? Because this is where it all starts. No matter the mistakes that we have made, you know, to where we only get this one day, you know, just all day, just me and her. And so it's just sharing a piece of my heart. I wrote, God bless you. I love you. I said, you are my heart. And also, this young lady is an angel. Miss Love You.
On the back of his shirt, I wrote, Deasia, I love you and misses you.
I feel like with me being here incarcerated, being so far away from home and far away from my son, that having an opportunity or a day like this here with just me and him together, it's tremendous. It's a blessing. It's a real privilege that I don't believe no prison or no one that's doing time in prison would even much be able to experience this here. And it's a gap that's being bridged between us by being separated and being so far away from one another and not having this. With him growing up being young, I'm missing out on a whole lot of things, you know, in his life by not being able to go to his school and go to the basketball games, the end of the sports games, or take him to the state fair, or take him to a carnival, or just participate in anything, you know, with him. And this here is like miniature carnival fair participation one day, you know, with God, one day with Father and Son, you know, it's a reunite, it's a reunion. This is actually helped me to be able, well, I'm not a stranger to him. You know, I'm actually able to, we communicate and we're familiar with one another. it's a blessing. Returning Heart Celebration is always there for me. I look forward to it like opening up Christmas gifts when I was a kid.
Do you see Dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's right there.
Roger Harrison. Roger Harrison.
I know the first time they get here, you know what we do? We pray and we go take the pictures. I said, all right. Whatever y'all want to do. See the jumper, I done got too old for the jumper. Yeah, she want me to get in there. He want to go through the castle and do the jumping and this and that and other. So she got to come in there and get me out of there. You know, I ain't got to get her out. They got to get me out. Well, yeah, Grandpa, I'm back here. You know, it's all about having a good spirit. And, you know, I'm a man of God. You know, I walk with faith. Despite of the fact that I've been incarcerated for 32 years, you know, I don't fault nobody but myself. And, you know, it may sound strange, and I'm going to say this. I'm kind of glad I came to prison. Because if I hadn't came to prison, I might would have lost my life without my soul being saved. But since I've been in here, you know, it taught me to be a better person than I was yesterday. It taught me how to love people. Taught me how to care about people. You know, I'm in there for a second degree murder charge, but I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I asked the victims to forgive me, and they did. You know, and in the process of me being here, I achieved my GED, graphic arts school, substance abuse, 100 hours, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that I can achieve to be positive, I done that.
Words can't describe it. Words can't describe it. It's wonderful. I love him so much. You know, if I'm one of those type of people, like you talk to me about 5 minutes and I'm talking about my kids. Well, you know, my daughter is this, you know, my son's doing this, you know, that's the type of person, you know, the type of people you meet in the supermarket that pull out the pictures. That's me. So, yeah, so it's wonderful. And they all believe us in God. So, you know, that's no greater joy. Yeah.
It was fun and we had a lot of things to do and we had fun together and we love each other.
You don't get this time at visiting, because we have visiting hours, but you don't get this amount of time. You don't get this amount, these activities. So they don't get the chance to experience these activities as such with you and have that fun. And you kind of forget about prison. And they can forget about that you're in prison, and they can just experience the love of God that's being shared abroad. And everyone is just having fun in the name of Jesus. Amen.
It's really brought us closer together, and then with my siblings, it gives us a chance to get to know each other better and just have fun and, you know, spend family time, and it makes us, you know, our relationship stronger. We've experienced just about everything, so it's nice to have fun and just forget about the bad things and everything, just have fun and just thank God that we're here, so...
Play basketball.
I guess basketball. That's all we're supposed to do when they come, though. We want to be a basketball star one day.
Who's going to win?
Me.
How about this 2-on-1?
Man, I'm going to get you. I'm going to win. You almost out of jail? You almost out of jail?
Guess the number of jelly beans in the jar. Win the jelly beans. Guess the weight of the watermelon. It's heavier than you think.
Because there's not going to be.
I just enjoy seeing the smile and the joy on everybody's face that took the time to make this possible, where we can get this opportunity to come out here and spend one day with our kids. That don't happen very often. This is my third year, and I thank God each and every day, you know, for blessing me to get an opportunity to spend the time with my daughter, you know, but it's just a blessing, you know.
Yeah, it helps you, because that when we go to visit, you have the mother and the other people, so, you know, you're talking to everybody, but here, you're one-on-one, you know, you can really express yourself, and you can get that eye contact and really let him know from your heart with you, face-to-face, you know, and that's a blessing.
Joel Willis.
I just want to have fun, have a great day. And I think it would be fun that I see my daddy. I think it would be fun to play activities. I get to hang out, play, have fun, eat food. And I think it's going to be the best day for my life.
What's going on here?
Oh, look, I'm fitting to dust my daughter. That's what's fitting to go on. We're fitting to race. She won the first one by a nose.
Is that like 100 yards? How far is it?
About a good 50. After I finish with her this time here, she going to know that her dad is the best. World's strongest dad and fastest okay. dad. On
and your name is?
My name is Peter Lagson.
My name is Haven. I'm 13.
He's stretching out. Big time. Here they come. All right, so who won?
A tie.
I think you got him. Is that your sister right there?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Her name is Heaven.
What's this like for you?
Well, it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. I can tell. You guys are smiling.
I would like to kill me, just not. I don't know where that energy come from. I can't handle another race. That's it.
You need to get the towel, man.
Get the towel? Come on, Ray. You did good.
While the dads and granddads and uncles and kids take pictures, play games, win prizes, and eat lunch, there's another group that concerns Brian Rhodes. Brian is vice president and chief ministry officer of Awana and stands with his wife, Sandy, near the stands that are quickly emptying.
I think for Sandy and I, this is like our 10th or 11th year we've done this. And one of the saddest things is somewhere around 11, 15 or so, the warden will make a call and he will say, okay, everybody that's still here, we don't think their kids are coming. And then he takes them all and they go and they have a meal, but then they have to go back. And it's, to me, it's the second saddest time of the day. And it's the dads that, for whatever reason, their kids couldn't come or their guardians couldn't bring them or there was a problem. And that's a sad part of the day. Because there'll be every year, there's at least 30 or 40 dads that their kids don't make it.
I spoke with several of those dads in the stands who were waiting, all who believed their children would eventually come. One man knew his daughter had a track meet that weekend, but he sat in the stands anyway so he could experience the day with the other dads. But at some point in the day, the decision has to be made.
Able to participate. Father, we thank you for the food. We ask you to bless it to our nourishment today, that we might honor you and your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. We're fixing to take them over and let them get some lunch. And we praise God that they're still calling a few names, but this is the hardest part of my job every year. And praise God, we don't have as many inmates this year as we normally have that are still sitting up here, but probably give them 30, 40 minutes to eat and last-minute children to come in, and then they'll be escorted back to their residences.
We're going to have to send y'all on back. So, give me a few minutes to get y'all a ride. That's the ones the families didn't show. The ones we'll go get them to eat, and we're going to get them back to the camp and y'all do whatever. Y'all want to come with you? Come on with me. We'll get y'all something to eat.
This is the tough part. These are the dads that...
y'all got to stay with me now.
Don't whose kids didn't show up today, and they were expecting their kids to come, but they didn't show up. It's a tough pill for these guys to swallow, but they learn to deal with it. Yeah, it's discouraging. It's like one of the dads told me that, you know, how you felt when you were a little kid about, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before Christmas. You're so excited. You can hardly wait for Christmas Day. And that's what it is for these dads. And then it's like, okay, we waited for Christmas Day, but it never came. And so it's tough on these guys. They have to go back to their cells and without their kids ever showing up.
Those dads did what they were supposed to do, according to the rules and regulations that they had to follow here at Angola. They did what they were supposed to do to get in the stands. Through no fault of their own, their children didn't show up. So Jesus did what he was supposed to do to take care of our sins. through no fault of his, it's our choice. Yes or no. If we don't show up and take advantage of what he's done, then it's not his fault. But yet he's going to sit in the stands and wait for us, just like those dads sat in the stands and wait for those kids. Yeah, still hard to grasp it all, but it's an amazing program. It really is.
I was a family assistant to three children, and that daddy is a great daddy. He loves his children. He took wonderful care of them. He cried when we left. He let us pray together. He talked to them about the Lord. He highlighted verses in his Bible for them, in their Bibles for them. I was just really impressed with him. He's a good daddy here.
It's just overwhelming. Just so grateful that I came and, like, I really listened to the prompting of the Lord. To see what a difference that just having this time with the children and the dad could make in a child's life. You know, just getting that love that they haven't had. You know, and just holding their dad, that I have a daddy who loves me. He might be incarcerated, but he still loves me, you know. And that brings a lot of healing. It brings a lot of healing to a child's heart.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, dads and their families gather in the rodeo arena, an amazing structure built by inmates at Angola. Prizes are awarded, and there's a quietness that falls over the crowd. A challenge is given by director of Awana Lifeline, Mike Broyles.
And so, daddies, this is your turn. This is your turn to ask for forgiveness, if that's appropriate. Kids, this is your turn to listen to your dad. And we're going to give your dad a few minutes to talk to you. This is the Super Bowl. This is the greatest touchdown one can have, of returning and responding and turning to Jesus Christ and receiving him as Lord and Savior and friend. And so, daddies, we're praying you'll have the courage to simply have a spiritual conversation with your kids. So we're going to be quiet up front and allow dads. It should be dads speaking right now, or grandpas. And then we'll come back in a few minutes.
Fathers and their children talk quietly. Some pray. Some volunteers pray for the hundreds of dads around them.
These kids and their daddies, Father, may the fathers be able to share the good news of the gospel of Christ with these, their sons and daughters, stepdaughters.
Then the hundreds of children and dads and volunteers move from the stands to inside the arena for the balloon launch.
All right.
This is a symbolic time of letting go of helium-filled balloons, all while still holding on to the memories they've built during this special day.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Look at them go.
The children let go of the balloons and watch them rise over the rodeo grounds. And then they have to do the hardest thing. They have to let go of their dads. Some were so young they wouldn't let go. They couldn't. They didn't understand why dad couldn't come home with them on the bus. That was the most difficult thing for hundreds of volunteers, dads, and children.
Just saying goodbye, just watching people's faces. And kids be wanting us to come out with them, you know. So, but, you know, they had a good day and pray that the seed of the word was sown in their heart and that seed will grow. And years from now, they'll be serving Christ, you know, walking faithfully for Christ. So that's what it's all about. So they have fun, but at the same time, they get the word and they get that seed planted in their heart. So, man, that's a blessing.
Was it a good day for you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'm sore. My body aching right now from running behind them kids. But it's all good. All to the glory of God. Yeah, thank you.
We caught up with Troy, who was saying goodbye to his son. Remember, on Wednesday, he was joking about playing his son in basketball. You can hear his last words right here. Listen closely. He says, love you, man. He promises to call him.
Love you, man. Yeah. Take it easy, man. I'm going to call you tonight, yeah?
Who won?
I beat him 2-0. But he making sure he emphasized that it was by only by 2 points. So I guess he feel like he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. Proud of him.
It's a hard, this is the hardest part, right?
Yeah, man. I can tell it's really weighing on him too. That's what the hardest part is, knowing how much it's weighing on him. You know, kind of got a little down and deflated towards the end. I just try to encourage him, let him know I'm gonna call him later on tonight. You know, so. But man, I tell you, man, I thank God for this opportunity to this have the time I had with him today. We just sat down and we had the talk, you know. So I asked him toward the end of the day, you know, what he remembered from the talk, you know. And he told me that he remembered that he think it'd be best to wait until he get married before he have sex, and wait a little longer before he start dating, and that if he study hard and really work hard, that he can do well. So.
While Troy spoke and hundreds of people passed by, he never took his eyes off his son, all the way to the gate and beyond the buses, surrounded by children and volunteers, surrounded by the love of his father.
My children that I was assigned to today have grown up visiting their dad in prison or some sort of jail. I think he was in 3 jails before he came to Angola. And so it was nothing for them to be here other than the fact that they only get to come once a year. If that. In 5 years, they've seen him one time because of the mother. So, you know, you just hope that one day the mom can just accept the fact that, you know, people make bad decisions. Doesn't mean they're bad people. So.
How did the dad respond?
Oh, he bawled like a big baby. This big, tough, former gang member cried like a baby because his girls were crying. You know, he had a set of twins and they were just bawling. He was crying. So it was hard. You know, you almost have to pry him away at the end, you know. It's hard.
When I watch this goodbye, I can often remember when I sat in visiting rooms with my family, and I watched children grow up with some of my inmate friends, and I used to watch them part, and it was so hard. I watched them. It was hard enough for my family to leave, but to watch children and parents part, it rips you apart like nothing else, you know. And so I'd like to stop seeing that in America and throughout the world. And I believe Awana is a great program, if you call it a program even. It's all God. It's a God thing all the way. And I think over time, and maybe over generations, that we can lower the prison population. And that's what I'm hoping to see happen, too.
So today we've taken you inside the walls of a maximum security prison, past the razor wire, to hear what God is doing in the hearts of fathers and children, of volunteers, the warden there, and so many others. These men, these dads, are having a lasting effect on their children from a great distance. When I came back from Angola, I sat in our living room and I talked with my wife and kids about the experience. That week, my 16-year-old daughter wanted me to go driving with her. She has her learner's permit. My sons begged me to play basketball. And each time I thought of the men of Angola, what they wouldn't give for just a moment like this to capture something I take for granted. Maybe you do, too. Here's a challenge to dads inside and outside prison walls, and a vision for what might happen because of their changed lives. This is Awana President and CEO Jack Egar.
Dads in prison here may be making a greater impact on the lives of their children than free dads who go home every day after work and yet invariably do little to nothing with their children on a spiritual basis. And I don't think it's a head problem. I think most dads in America recognize that God has called them to mentor their children, to be the spiritual leaders in the home. They just don't do it. It's a heart problem. And so one of the things we're learning, and that is prisoners who have been broken and are now redeemed in Jesus Christ, they have a pure sense of mission in reaching their children with the gospel. Most of these guys here at Angola will never again, ever get to go home and spend one night with their children around the scriptures and talking with them about their lives and their values and the things that God is wanting to do with them, as the Lord desires all of his children to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we've got a learning curve ourselves here at this prison in understanding what God is doing in a substantial way in the lives of those who unfortunately never get out again and yet would probably do quite a good job fathering because they get it. Yeah. And we don't. So free dads need to pay attention to dads in prison who are redeemed in Christ. They have reconciled with their children, many of them, and they can't go home again, but yet they're reaching out. And our dads, our free dads in America, need to be reaching out to their children in a consistent way, day in and day out.
So you really believe that something like we're seeing now could be the spark inside a captive audience, you know, inside a prison in the United States, spreading not just to other prisons, but to people who are quote-unquote free?
Well, isn't that exactly how God works? You know, people sometimes wonder, well, why was Christ born in a manger and not a palace? He truly is the King of Kings. And yet, according to God's divine will and plan, he is the Lamb of God. And that was the right place for the Lamb of God to begin his mission on earth. So it's God who works outside our box. And it would be just like God to choose those who have been swept under the proverbial societal rug away from the rest. Wouldn't it be just like God to raise them up as that witness, as that example of godly fatherhood? I would like to see that happen.
Would you pray for that right now?
Yeah, I really would. Father, we look at these prisoners across the states, and many of them are hard, and many of them are broken. And yet, oftentimes, Lord, it's your mighty Holy Spirit who will come into that hardness and that brokenness and truly transform people from the inside out. And to that end, Lord, we pray that you would raise up a movement here through this Returning Hearts, Malachi Dad's ministry in America, and that these fathers would be like shining lights to the dads in America that truly need to get their hearts right before you. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
One Day with Dad, a special Moody Broadcasting special hosted by Chris Fabry. I hope you are blessed by this broadcast, which I broke into two parts, yesterday and today, and we'll be praying for those dads at the Louisiana State Penitentiary, along with all the dads you know. Yesterday and today's broadcast are archived at greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.